James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." He replied, "What do you wish me to do for you?" They answered him, "Grant that in your glory we may sit one at your right and the other at your left." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the drink that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" They said to him, "We can." Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right or at my left is not mine to give, but it is for those, for whom it has been prepared." When the ten heard this, they became indignant at James and John. Jesus summoned them and said to them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you will be the slave of all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The scriptures today tell us that Jesus accompanies us in every aspect of our life, and he invites us to accompany him in every aspect of his life. So in the letter to the Hebrews, we're told that we have a great high priest. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who has similarly been tested in every way, yet without sin. And so the letter to the Hebrews is telling us that Jesus has entered completely into the human experience and has experienced everything about being human, except sin. He's faced every temptation, but he has been victorious over that temptation. And so it tells us a couple things. It tells us, probably tells us a lot of things, but a couple things that I will say is that it tells us, first of all, that whatever it is that we are experiencing, we are not alone. The creator of the universe, the God to whom we pray every day, every Sunday, is in that experience with us. And because of the incarnation, God is not something, he's not someone who is completely other than us. God is completely other than us, but he has entered into our humanity. He's taken our humanity on to himself. We could say he has experienced humanity from the inside out. Now, he has not sinned, but contrary to what we are often tempted to think, sin is not a human reality. Sin is the least human thing about us, right? Sin are the times that when we sin, that's when we act inhumanly against our human nature. But everything that's authentically human, Jesus has experienced. Not only that, because he is the fullest man, the most perfect man, I often think, this is my private opinion, I haven't read a theologian say this, but that Jesus' experience of humanity is normative. And what I mean by that is, especially when I'm struggling, I don't just so much think of, well, Jesus is able to enter into my experience of struggling. I think that I am able to enter into Jesus' experience of suffering. When I am lonely, I experience this as an opportunity to enter into Jesus' experience of loneliness, especially in the Garden of Gethsemane or as he's carrying the cross. When I'm sad or sorrowful, this is an opportunity for me to enter into Jesus' sorrow. But however it is that you look at it, we know that we are not alone because the Lord of the universe has experienced humanity from the inside out and is truly with us in all of our joys and in all of our sufferings. So the letter to the Hebrews tells us, therefore, let us confidently approach the throne of grace for two reasons: to receive mercy, and to find grace for timely help. And I think those two things are both very important. So first of all, to receive mercy. Because the Lord understands what it is to be human, and has, in a sense, experienced the weaknesses of the human person, I think we can have deeper confidence in the sympathy, and truly sympathy, right? The ability to feel with us our weaknesses and our temptations. The Lord genuinely understands what it is that we go through. However, Jesus, who, while being fully God, is also fully man, and who invites us into his life and into his experience, he did conquer sin. And so because of this, we can approach the throne of grace, first of all, confident that the Lord, who understands us from the inside out, will be merciful, but that also by his grace, we can overcome. And so whatever it is that we experience in life, Jesus accompanies us in a very real way. But then also, and this, the gospel really points to us, Jesus invites us to accompany him. Right? When James and John want to be seated at his right and left in his glory, he tells them essentially, you don't know what it is you're asking for. You have to drink the cup that I'm going to drink and be baptized with the baptism with which I'm going to be baptized, which is, of course, the baptism of death on the cross. But what's more than that, what really sticks out to me is he not only asks them, can you drink this cup? He tells them, you will drink this cup. We are all invited by virtue of our baptism to enter into Jesus' suffering and death. Right? This happens especially in the Eucharist. Now here's the thing, Jesus tells them, you are going to drink this cup, and he could say that to all of us as well. And I'm often struck when I meditate on suffering by the fact that suffering cannot be avoided. Right? When Jesus talks to us about how if we are his disciples, we're going to receive the cross, that shouldn't be surprising to us, because what person on earth escapes the cross? Who of us can get through this life unscathed, untouched by any kind of suffering, any kind of sorrow? All of us, you know, so when Jesus tells us to embrace our cross, take up our cross and follow him, we don't necessarily need to go out and look for ways to suffer. We don't need to go look for, you know, there have been great saints who have yearned for and sought martyrdom, but I don't think that's normative for the Christian life. For the most part, the Lord gives us plenty of opportunities in our lives to suffer. The question is, what are we going to do with it? Is that suffering going to be useless, or is it going to be fruitful? There's the old saying that whatever kills you doesn't make you stronger, but I don't think that's quite true. Right? Some things just hurt, and nothing good comes out of them. But if we take our sufferings and we enter into the experience of Jesus' suffering, If we unite our struggles, our sorrows, and also all the good things of our experience, if we unite those with the Lord on the cross, he will triumph in us. And when we talk about a share in the cross, which, by the way, we do most perfectly in the Eucharist, we need to realize that the suffering that Jesus embraces is not just a matter of passively being tortured and killed. It's a matter of love. The cross is a matter of love. It's a matter of Jesus, the God and the man, being completely open to his Father and completely open to us, even in the face of the most profound suffering that you can imagine. So when we talk about embracing the cross, when we talk about uniting ourselves to Jesus' sacrifice of himself on the altar, it's not just about grinning and bearing it. It's about maintaining an openness and being transformed into love towards the Father and towards each other, uniting ourselves to Jesus on the cross, who gives us the grace to remain open and to suffer fruitfully.